And so at this point, you get to the end and you need to be asking yourself, what now? If you haven't picked up on that yet, Jesus is going to tell you, here's what's next. The reality of who Jesus is more than just a preacher. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's powerful. He's mighty. Nobody comes close to Him. He's the Creator. He's the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. He's a good shepherd. He's the Holy One who will judge the living and the dead. He's the resurrection and life. He's the supreme sacrifice. He's the way, the truth, and the life. So you ask yourself, if that is who Jesus is, what in the world can I possibly bring to Him? A lot of the times when you hear about Jesus, He's really presented as kind of a wimp, right? That He's just pleading for you to come to Him, and that if you would just turn your life over to Him, He would be happy. But the reality is, Jesus doesn't need us. We need Him. You need Him desperately. Your heart is beating at this very moment because of Jesus Himself. He's the one who holds the world together. He's the one that is giving you breath. So why do I start there? It sounds kind of harsh, right? Because when we look at this last passage, we see what happens when people get Jesus wrong. We see what happens to people who get Jesus wrong. So let's turn to Matthew 7, if you already got it, chapter 7, verse 13. And I want you to listen to the different outcomes for the different people that Jesus interacts with or talks about. Verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. Verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for your word, and we just prayed that your spirit would move and that we would take these warnings seriously. In Jesus' name, amen. So what a way for Jesus to end the sermon. There's a house that falls, a life that ends, and great was its fall. A life wasted and cast into the fire. Jesus gives us three warnings in three different pictures. Okay, so warning number one, verses 13 and 14, don't take the easy road. Warning number one, enter through the narrow gate. This is verse 13. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. So Jesus is saying there's two ways in life. There's a wide road that's attractive, that looks good, that brings people in, and yet at the end of that road is what? Destruction. Do not be deceived. Don't fall for it, because typically we like to take the easy way out. We're drawn to the easy way. We want to know what the easy way is. We want to know how we can do something quickly, how we can get it over with, and move on to what we want to do. That's typically how it works. We're drawn to the easy way. There's a few rules. There's very few requirements. You can just be yourself. No judgment, no nothing. Easy road. And believe it or not, remember this sermon, Jesus is actually talking about religious people. Talking to religious people. They were the Jews. They were people that knew God's law, or they thought they knew it. And so this road can even look religious. What do I mean by that? The religious people were listening. They were doing the things that they thought were right. They were doing the things that they thought would lead them to God. And Jesus is saying they won't. There are people that go to church every Sunday, Sunday after Sunday, and they think, that is what's going to get me into heaven. But that could be part of the wide road. That could be something you're doing as a legalistic type job, and yet it's easy. No real change has occurred in their heart. They've never really considered if their life brings honor to the name of Jesus. Maybe they prayed a prayer one time, and they thought that prayer gets them a free pass into heaven. The Bible tells us that many are on that road, and that the road ends in destruction. And Jesus is warning, stay off of it. So if you stay off the wide road, what's the other option? The narrow path. The narrow path. The narrow path is hard to follow. Turn back just two chapters, Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. Follow along with me for just a second. Don't take the easy path. Take the narrow path. And what does Jesus say about it? Blessed, this is how he started his sermon. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So who does the kingdom of heaven belong to? Those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness. We already know the righteousness of Jesus. Now look at verse 11. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil things against you because of me. Verse 12, rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So that's the beginning of the sermon. At the start, you have Jesus saying, rejoice and be glad. But why are we rejoicing? Because we're being persecuted. Because we're being attacked. But we're being attacked because of the person of Jesus Christ. We're being falsely accused because of him, because of our association with him. So back to chapter 7. The narrow way leads to life. Not only is the narrow way hard, but the narrow way will also bring enemies. Look for just a second, turn the other way, Matthew chapter 10. It's all right in the same book, Matthew 10, verse 17. But beware of men, for they will hand you over to the courts and scourge you in the synagogues. So Jesus is telling his disciples, if you take the narrow way, you're going to be arrested. You're going to be beaten. You're going to be scourged. That's what that means. It's a brutal beating is what that is. Now look at 21 and 22 in chapter 10. Brother will betray brother to death, and father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. You will be hated by all because of my name. But it is the one who endures to the end that will be saved. Verse 37, one more. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. But he who has found his life will lose it. And he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. So what is Jesus saying? That the narrow road is difficult, but all those who lose their life because of him find their life in him. Ultimate life, ultimate victory, the narrow way leading to life. There is no life apart from Jesus Christ, only the wide road that leads straight to destruction. And as you think about this, why would you want to get on the narrow road? That sounds horrible. But think about what Jesus went through. We've talked about it a little bit, but physically he was arrested in the middle of the night. He was hauled off, unjust trial, beaten and abused. He was sentenced to death on a cross. He carried his cross to the place of the skull. Nails were driven through his hands and his feet. He was lifted up on the cross. And the Bible says that it was the Father's will to punish him for our sins. So the worst punishment of all is the punishment of the wrath of God being poured out for your sins. And it's either going to be poured out on you, or it's going to be poured out on Jesus for those who believe in him. It was Jesus Christ, God in flesh. He on the cross bore my sin and all the sins of those who would call upon his name. My sin placed him on the cross so that his righteousness would cover me. A perfect sacrifice made once for all. So to the world, they look at this road, they look at this path, and it looks tough, but in reality, those who call upon Jesus for salvation jump on the narrow road and they never look back. They never turn back. There is no persecution, there is no insult that derails them from that path because of the greatness of God. Everything else is temporary. Those who lose their life in Christ find an everlasting treasure. So warning number one, don't take the easy road. The easy road leads straight to hell. Warning number two, okay? Warning number two, put your money where your mouth is. Verse 21, read it with me. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. These are some of the most bone-chilling verses in all of the Bible. If you take it at face value, these people came to Jesus totally expecting to get into heaven. They came to him with their resume and say, these are the things that I've done. I'm a good preacher. I've healed people. I've cast out demons in your name. And what does Jesus say? Depart from me. And why? Because they practiced lawlessness. They even got the name right. They called him Lord. At least on the outside, they saw him as Lord. Not only they're intense, but they're enthusiastic. They say, Lord, 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 Lord. But not everyone who says this will enter the kingdom of heaven. But who will enter the kingdom of heaven? Who will enter the kingdom of heaven? Look at your Bible. Not everyone who says this will enter, but he who does the will of my Father. He who does the will of my Father. We did this in your name. We cast out demons. We perform miracles. And Jesus says, depart from me. They said the right things. Maybe they even did the right things. But Jesus tells them point blank that you've been practicing lawlessness. Whether their faith was in their works, whether their belief was that doing those things would get them in, or whether they were just straight liars, Jesus said, I don't even know who you are. What you do is not because of me. What you do is because you love yourselves. You love the attention you receive, but you don't know me. They didn't know Jesus. So how do we put our money where our mouth is? How can we know that we aren't deceived? How can we know that when we stand before him, we're not going to give a list of things and he's going to say, Get out of here. I don't know you. Verse 21. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Those who are living faithfully a life committed to Christ. So what does that mean? Let's be more specific. Thank God Jesus does that just for us. You can turn to verse 24. Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them. That's where we're about to go. Do you hear the words in the Bible and do you act upon them? Do you respond to them in faith? So, Jesus warns us, don't take the wide road that leads to destruction. He warns you that he warns us to truly believe in him and not just to say we believe. And the final warning from Jesus is check your foundation. Don't build a house upon the sand. Look at verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built this house on a rock. So he's going to draw a picture for you. He's coming to the end of the sermon, and this is the very end. If you listen to my words and you act upon them, you're like a man who's built his house on a rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. That's the last words of the sermon here. The house fell, and great was its fall. You should be picking up on a theme here. In verse 21, you see that the person who does the will of the Father enters eternal life. Now in verse 24, you hear that those who hear what Jesus is saying and does them will never be shaken. One of the interesting things about this is, as far as we know, both the men have the same tools. They both have the same resources. They were able to build the house, right? It's just one did what Jesus said, and one didn't. One heard, and one obeyed. One heard and did not obey. He wanted to do things his own way. So the first man obeyed. Jesus compares him to the man that digs deep, does the hard work, gets down to the bedrock. He removes all the sand and actually builds his house upon that rock. You're all young. You're all in the early stages of your life. You're in the early stages of building a house, and you're starting to make choices on what you want to do and how you want to do it. And there are really only two options. You can do it the way the Bible lines it out for you, upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, or you can do it however you want. What are you building your life upon? To build a house costs a lot of money. I know a guy, is about 15 years ago, he spent $2 million on his house. Built it, the fanciest house that I've ever been in anyway. Has a huge garage, 35 cars in the garage. Bunch of classic cars, and his insurance bill is ridiculous, but he built a fancy house. So now, all of a sudden, this is 15 years down the road, and the doors don't shut. Now, all of a sudden, the cabinets in the kitchen swing open, and they won't stay closed. You know why? The foundation's cracked. And his entire house is tilting, and eventually, his house is going to fall. You have any idea what that $2 million house is worth today? Zero. Can't sell it. Can't get rid of it. He's stuck in it. So the question is, what are you building your life upon today so that you don't wake up in 15 years or 5 years or 20 years or 30 years and realize that your house was not built upon the rock? That your righteousness was not found in the person of Jesus Christ. Nothing satisfies like the life lived for Jesus. Look at verse 25. There's going to be flooding. There's going to be challenges in your life. And the flooding can represent the trials of this life. But ultimately, what this flooding represents is the day of judgment. Every single one of us are going to stand before God and give an account for our lives. The person who's built his life upon faith in Jesus Christ has a solid foundation. It's going to carry him through the floods of this life and the floods of the future judgment. But those who don't, the trials of this life might seem tough, but it'll be nothing compared to standing before God and realizing you have nothing. That man is going to be totally ruined when he stands before God at judgment. There are only two results. One, the house stands. The other, the house falls. There's no middle ground. There's no just sustaining a little bit of hail damage. There's only two destinies, heaven and hell. Those who truly believe in him will be in heaven. Those who claim to believe in him but deny him by their disobedient life, deny them in their hearts, deny him as Lord, are cast into the fire. So think about the floods for just a second. We think about the trials. We think about life. We think about sickness. We think about death. We think about being lied to. All these things are earthly trials, earthly floods. But for those that are built on the rock, it gives us an opportunity to exercise our faith. It gives us an opportunity to prove our faith in Jesus. How do you react when things get tough? The other type of flood we've already talked about is the judgment. Listen to Hebrews 4:13. It says that all things are laid bare before God. Every single thought, every single deed will be laid bare before God. There will be no place to hide. He knows all things. He sees all things. He knows when you've been a hypocrite. He knows when you're putting up a good front. He knows when you're claiming to be a Christian, but all the while not trusting in him for our salvation. And at that moment, it all comes crashing down. But that's the reality of the good news, that Jesus first brings us face to face with the law of God. That's where he started the sermon. He brought us face to face with the law, and every person, when compared to what Jesus said, was found wanting. Every single person fell short. So if we're going to stand before God on our own, then you better be perfect. And none of us can claim that. So when we're faced with our own sinfulness, the only reality is we have no shot. That's why the death of Jesus Christ was necessary. We were on the wide road that leads to destruction. We were the tree that bears no fruit, that deserves to be cast into the fire. We were those who Jesus would tell to depart because he never knew us. We were the house that comes down with a great crash. So the question is pretty simple. What can I do to make sure that my house is built on the rock? What can I do to make sure I'm not built on the sand? How can I stand firm on the true gospel? Look at verse 24 one more time. Therefore, everyone who hears these words and acts upon them. Okay, so last exercise. I want you to turn to Romans. Three more minutes. Romans is to the right. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and Romans. Romans chapter 3. You've already heard it a couple of times from Rory. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. First truth, you've heard it multiple times, but all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. Now turn over to Romans 6, 23. If we've all sinned, then we've all earned the wages of sin. And the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. John 3:3 says this, "Truly, truly, I say to you," this is Jesus talking to a Pharisee, "truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So we've fallen short. This sin places us under the wrath of God. It leads to death. And the only solution is to be born again. What does that mean? John 14:6. There's Jesus talking again. Jesus said to them, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Last place to turn, Romans 10, verse 9. Jesus says, "All that come to him, he will not cast out." What does that look like? First, chapter 10, verse 9 in Romans. "If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation." And to those who come to Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, "And he died for all those who come to him, so that they might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf." That's what it looks like. We come to Jesus Christ in faith, and then we live our life for him. You're a sinner. You need a Savior. And there's only one Savior, Jesus Christ. Call out to him, confess your sin, pray for forgiveness, jump on the narrow road, and never look back. Because why? A flood is coming. And what is your hope in? Anybody who hopes in Jesus will not be put to shame. They will stand strong. Let's pray. Father, all we can do is thank you for those of us who have called upon the name of Jesus and have relied completely on him for our righteousness, who have relied completely on him for the foundation of our lives. And because of him, we know that we will never be shaken. Because of him, we know that we will stand before you righteous. Because of the work that Jesus did on the cross, all we can do is thank you, Father, and we can live a life that is poured out in gratitude to you. Move in our hearts, convict us of our sin, show us that we need you. In Jesus' name, amen.